been reading in the book of Ezekiel the last few days. The first 30-something chapters of that book are some of the most bleak, dark, and judgeful chapters you'll ever read in Scripture. Of folks that had messed up, folks that had gone astray, folks that had made mistakes, turned their back on the Lord, substituted God for other things. But being that they were the people of God, the Lord starts to tell the prophet, if you don't tell them that they've sinned, their judgment is going to be on you. But if you tell them that there's a way of escape, a hope, a righteousness, that they can change their ways, then it will be on them. And there is a hope. Amen. You get in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, and the Bible talks about that prophetic vision of a valley of dry bones, indicating the nation of Israel and how far they were from true life, being connected to Christ, being connected to their God. And yet he says, prophesy to the wind that they would live again. Hallelujah. The Bible says they arose, became an exceeding great army. I believe that although this generation is living in a bleak time, in a world that is without hope, in a world that is desperate and longing for true life, I believe in a hope that can only be found in Jesus Christ, but is free to anyone that wants it. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. It's the saving, cleansing, life-changing blood. Hallelujah. What a great Savior we serve. Amen. Praise the Lord. Want Brother Jacob Bagley to come, and I always get in trouble when I'm greeting folks in the congregation. I always miss a few. Good to see Brother Andrew and Sister Tamara Withrow here tonight as well. I just included them in the Bagley caravan, and Pastor Bagley, good to see you tonight. Amen. I just appreciate their family. Brother Bagley, come preach to us. Amen. Take your liberty.
Glad to be in the house of the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. When Brother Brian texted me to see if I was going to come and preach for you guys, I've been praying like, God, please just send me do something. I want to do your will. And then he texted me, and I was like, perfect timing, yes. And I realized what I'd done. I'm like, oh. I was going to text him like, oh, never mind. No, but I couldn't do that. But I just get real nervous sometimes. But, I mean, when I walked in, you know, it just felt like family. And, like, I really appreciate that. I mean, half of them are my family right now. But it's real nice. Just the people were just instantly connected. You're all nice. Like, I love you guys. But whenever I go to a place that I haven't really spoke at yet, I always try to give my testimony, whether it be the full version or just to touch up on things. And that's always saying I see how the service is going. And when they were doing the prayer requests and everything, it just seems like there's a bunch of sickness and just unwanted things going on right now. So, and that's exactly in the point that I was, because on my 13th birthday, I had woke up with 104-degree temperature. And when they rushed me to the emergency room, I had developed pneumonia, walking pneumonia. I've had it for a while. They didn't know. So they rushed me into the hospital, and they gave me a shot of some type of medicine. And when I went home, I went back the next day with blisters in my mouth. So we didn't know what happened, thought it was an allergic reaction, and they just had to rush me right back the next day. Thank you. And when they rushed me back, we had no idea. It was just scary. You know, so like, you've had an allergic reaction. So I'm like, okay, no big deal, you know? But when the doctors came back in, they said it was more serious than they thought, and overnight I had developed Steven Johnson syndrome. And that is an allergic reaction times 500. And what that does is the blisters, like I'm not trying to be graphic, but like they get inside your mouth and they run down into your stomach, so you can't eat and you can't do anything. And once it gets in your stomach, it comes out on your skin like leprosy, and it burns your skin. And once that happens, you usually become an amputee. It eats at your skin to where they have to do skin grafts, and you live as an amputee. And the sad part about this is there's no cure. So at that point, you're usually going through physical therapy to become an amputee, or they know that you're on the end line. So I was in the hospital a total of 29 days, and around the 20th day, they said that the blisters had gotten so intense that they were going to have to put me under with a very strong medication, and that I would wake up. They said every patient they'd given this to, has woke up screaming that there were demons and trying to get out of the room because it was such a strong hallucinations everywhere. Like, they didn't know what to do. So when I took it, I woke up and I was seeing Oreos and clowns. Like, my family, like, they didn't know what was going on. The doctors had never seen that before. It was wild. So they were sitting there, and, you know, I'm sitting there making fun of everybody for being a clown. And I was like, guys, I had a dream, you know. It's like, oh, you know, record, he's going to ride a dragon, you know. So they're sitting there, and Mom wrote it down. I told him, I walked into this barn, and when I walked into this barn, there were crows all on the rafters of this giant barn. So I walk in, and the crows fly down. They start pecking me everywhere where I had a blister, my mouth, my nose, everywhere where I couldn't move. And it happened for a while, and I fell in some hay. And once I fell in the hay, I look up, and a dove flew in the top window. And as soon as the dove came in, all the crows flew out. And this dream felt like it lasted for weeks. I would just lay in this hay and look at this bird, and that was it. So all of a sudden, after a while, you know, I got up, dusted the hay off, and I could walk again. And the dove flew out, and I chased the dove out. And as soon as I hit the barn doors, a bright white light hit me, and I woke up. The crazy thing was, once I woke up, the blisters had already started to recede. So with this disease, your lips become completely black, and they swell almost to your nose. And when I went in, they said I would pick at him because it would hurt. They were saying, they said, do not let him pick at that because that is his lip. If he pulls that off, he is pulling off his lip. So after a while, you know, I kind of got sick at it of that age, and I asked for a wet rag, you know, so they gave me a wet rag, you know what happened, and I drug it across my lips. Once I drug it across my lips, I had new pink lips. The blisters just came off. And they said, that wasn't supposed to happen, that was your lips. So at that point, I was down to about 5 miracles in 1 month, and I think that's a record. But with that, I went back. At that time, I was in a public school. Like, I seriously got out within a week of that surgery. So ever since then, that's just been my reminder, like, God has a calling for my life, and I'm going to do everything I can because I'm already on borrowed time. So when I went back to school, you know, everybody, what happened, you know, explained everything. And all I got back was, you got lucky, you know. You're the luckiest kid, so that kind of wore on my testimony. And I just fell back into the world. Like, I fell back into the rotations of coming to church every Wednesday, hearing a different speaker, going back, and I didn't really know God. With that year at Southern Ohio, love that camp, I know everybody here is a big part in it, I really got touched by the Lord. And that's when I felt my calling, but I didn't know it's really specific. So that year I went to Tiger Mountain, real specific calling in my life, and I went into another Christian school at Germantown Christian. And it's real, like, funny how the devil comes at you against everything you do. Like, he can come at you in ways, like, he attacked my mind in that summer saying, you can't go back to public school, you'll just fall right back into what you did. You know you will. So I was sitting there and I got scared. That really scared me. I would stay up at night, I couldn't do it. So I went to my mom and dad and said, hey, I feel like I need to go to a Christian school, focus on God. So they put me into a Christian school, and then Satan started tormenting me and saying, well, you could have gone to public school and saved so many souls. You're a coward. So either way I went, I was a loser in that situation. So it took me, honestly, a really long time to get over that. Just like, God, I know I'm following your will right now. So right now, I'm just going to forget about the devil for a while, and I'm going to focus completely on you. And after that, I was fine. Everything's going good in my life. And with all this sickness going around, you know, it's like their song, what does the blood mean to you? What is Jesus to you? Is he your father? What is he? He's my healer. He's my personal healer. Make him your best friend. What is he to you? There's always a specific name that we have for our God. And mine is great, healer, father, everything that I could ever want and more. And that's just me. So I know that these problems, they can be gone within no time according to God, as long as we believe. Because it's all in God's will. But I was really praying for God, just saying, God, give me something that can just like give me a great feedback, you know, give me something great. And I realized that's not really what I'm supposed to be focusing on. As long as I can get to one soul, if I can get to one of you guys in this crowd, I've done my job. Because that's what I came to do. I just want to reach one person right now and really stick in their hearts. But I was reading and I came to Acts 28:3-5. And it says, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous being hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. So tonight, with God's help, I'm going to preach on Shake It Off. So I know in life, you know, he said this was a teen service, so I kind of made it focused on the teens, but in the same sense, I made it where everybody can get a little piece out of it, right? We're teenagers. The worst thing ever is to wake up with a zit on your forehead on picture day, and your boyfriend of 3 weeks that you love just broke up with you. So, and we got it hard right now. But honestly, in the religious world, it's really hitting us hard, and we don't realize it. Because we go to church, and we're Christians, but why do we go to church, and why are we Christians? We don't really figure it out for ourselves until the later years when we realize, it's too late right now, you know, I'll just sit in the pew some more and go through the motions. But the devil does come against us. Like with me, he just comes against me and says, you're not doing your will, you know? You're not really making any scratch at anything in the world. So that really hit me hard, and it really hit me here when I was studying. Just, I need to shake that off. See, I love how my uncle put it. I said, when is my turn? When is my turn with God? When does my will start with you, God? The second you say yes to God is when it begins. And then once we get all out of whack with God and everything, that's when we mess it up and we still blame God on for it. And that's what I don't understand. Once the devil gets in our minds, it's very hard to get him out. So like I say, shake him off. That's the one thing. My dad tells a story in church about a farmer who was digging a well and his goat fell in the well. And the farmer didn't hear the goat and he started shoveling all the dirt back into the well. So the dirt would land on him, he'd shake it off real fast, you know, get back. Another pile of dirt hit him in the face, shake it off real fast, and before he knew it, he was right back on there again. So he just hopped out, goat's free. See, and that's what life is. We think we fall into this huge pit, but then God's feeding us a little more each time, saying, just shake it off. It's going to get better because I know that I'm going to get you back on track in your will. So the reason is everyone stumbles and messes up. Everyone. Pastors, Brother Brian, me, everyone. I mean, nobody's perfect. But the problem is, we don't like to get back up and dust ourselves off. We like to sit there and wallow in our own self-pity and say, God, send somebody to help me. When God's saying, you're fine, please just stand up. You're wasting my time. See, our problem with it is, we've just gotten kind of lazy with God. We're saying, God, you're a healer. Thank you for that. And then we never ask him for it. See, I go to a Christian school, and my friend Darian, he took prayer requests. And I love the way he worded it. He said it's like loading a gun, aiming it, and not pulling the trigger. It's saying we get everything prepared for this big moment, and then we don't take the initiative to just pull a little trigger. See, and that's how God is. He puts everything in front of us, and we don't realize it. And all we have to do is take the initiative in our Christian lives and our walk with God to fire it. See, shake the feeling of being okay. I have a really bad problem with that, like most teens do, because we'll go to youth camps, we'll get fired up, you know? And then what happens in 2 weeks, to be honest? We're right back to where we were. And I found myself like that year after year until this last year. This is actually the first year I went to Southern, and I wasn't praying about the same thing that I pray for every year. It's like, God, deliver me from this, please. And then I went back. I said, oh, that was a big accomplishment for us. I said, I'm better. Like, I actually changed my ways. Thank you, God. And that's the thing. We have the feeling of being okay because we go to church. And we say, God, I follow your commandments. You know, am I a Christian? Is that how it works now? No, see, yes, that is a big part, but if we don't love God, it's all for nothing. Like, I could get up here and talk to you guys for 30 minutes, an hour, 20 hours. It doesn't matter. But if I don't love God, what's it all for? If we come to church every Sunday and every Wednesday, and we're not truly in love with God, and we don't want to feel him, what's it for? A title? Because you get a title everywhere you go. If I wanted to say, I'm a pastor, and get up and talk, I get the title of pastor. But if I say, God, I want to be your servant. Yes. That's a better title than any other title I could have right now. Say, God, make me everything that you want me to be right now. And I'm going to do everything I possibly can to have the title of servant. See, ministry is all about servanthood. If we sit here and we just go in and we're like, oh, I'm so happy it's Sunday, get to go out to eat with everybody after church, and we leave, that's nothing. We have completely missed everything that God has thrown before us. Yes. See, And a big problem that I've had in my teenage years is I cannot feel God. Like, sometimes I feel like I am so far away from God. Like, I get mad. Like, I get mad at myself. Like, what happened, God? Where'd you go? And God's saying, go back to where you left me. Sure. See, so much in the Christian world, we have a great connection with God every summer. And all of a sudden, school starts, and we lose our prayer life, and we lose everything. So if your problem is where you can't feel God, go back to where you left him. And my preference is probably an altar. Because sometimes we go to camps, you know, and we'll say, oh, God, thank you, you know. We thank you for everything you've given us, and we'll lay it down, and we'll walk out, you know, be like, see you next year. And thank you for that great touch. That'll last me a whole year. I'm good. I jumped around a little bit. I think I'm good right now. And God, like, in all reality, I love the way they worded this in March at Brother Greg Atkins's. We should be following God right out the doors. Once we walk in on the wrong path and we leave God, we're pretty much spitting in his face, even though we act like we're Christians. See, our duty is to come in, meet God, and follow him wherever he takes us. So I was just praying, like, God, give me something good to say. And I don't know how this really came to me. It says, don't let your value determine your worth. See, everything has a worth. Like, if I have a car, let's say something like a $3 car, like a Hot Wheel, right? And I break it, I ruin this thing. And then I take it to somebody, I'm like, it's $3. Bought it for $3, I said you for $3. Wheels missing, paint scratched off. Are they going to pay me $3 for that? No. Not at all. Why? Because its value's going down. See, I went to, with Brother Russ Bray, because they were checking out churches, and they said, we found a magnificent church. It's huge. It said it's big, you know. And we went down to meet the realtor who turned out to be my grandpa. And we went in this place. And once we walked in, it was beautiful on the outside. It had a little overgrowth vines, you know. But when we walked in, I'm serious, there were like puddles, the holes in the roofs, you know. I was like, ooh, like, I don't think this is the right place, you know. But I'm sitting there, and we're walking by. There's a dead raccoon over here. And there's everything else in the world going on, dark hallways. But you walked into the sanctuary, and I promise, it was huge. Like, it was one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen, and it was still run down. So what I didn't know is Brother Russ already had, saw potential. Because this thing had at least 30 rooms, and I'm walking in like, this is a dump, you know. And he's saying, look what I can do here for people. And that's what we need to do. We need to have. Say, don't look for the value. Don't value everybody. Yeah. Say, this is what you're worth, because God has a worth for everyone. And that's the problem we've done. So don't let Satan take away the price God has you at. See, because we mean everything to God. The only problem, if we feel like we're less, is because we're putting God way down where he's supposed to be. So what I'm saying is, don't let Satan come in and say, here's your past, this is what you've done, so your value's obviously changed, right? Okay, we're ashamed. Yeah, we get ashamed of God. We get ashamed saying, God, I don't want you to see me like this. Of course, you don't want to see me like this. And we leave. And that's the biggest problem. We let Satan come into our minds. Again, you got to guard our minds. And we say, God, I know this is what you think I'm worth. And nothing's going to take that away. So we have to come to God continually and say, God, here's everything I am. Here's everything. Here's my future. Here's me. Here's every trouble I have in life. I'm giving it to you right now. And I found myself doing that a lot. And it just says, we need more potential in people. A few months ago, our church is right across the street from a big trailer park, and we had this kid come over, long hair, his name was Jonathan, and his first service, he was in the back pew jumping back and forth, reading the hymnals, throwing the book around, jumping back and forth. So Dad went down there, sit down, what are you doing, you know? And he would come every Sunday, just disrupting and running around the church, doing everything in the world. But then one day he actually sat there, and he listened to Dad. And all of a sudden, he started crying. And Mama went back and prayed for him. And honestly, we were trying to start a ministry, just going out witnessing to that trailer park at the time. And he went up, and he took our cards and asked the guy, he said, can I take these to everybody in that trailer park? Okay, I was amazed at one, that this kid who was just jumping around, disrupting everybody's worship, just came in and asked, can I do all of your ministry for you? Okay, see, we're looking at the value of this kid. I saw myself doing, I'm saying, that is the annoying kid who runs around and disrupts everything in church. When God's saying, I want him to go in and do what you're supposed to do because you're not doing it. See, the people we least expect are the people that is going to make the most impact on the world. So we look at ourselves and say, God, I'm not enough. I'm not nearly enough. Like me, I'm just a 16-year-old going to preach at a church that I'm really afraid to preach at. And God's saying, this is what you're going to do. I just want one. I want you to speak to one. So don't, your will starts as soon as you say yes. I've been over that, and I love that. Ever since he said that, I love that. Like, it just stuck with me. I don't know why. Once we say yes, and then let's say we get out of church, you do realize that God still wants you to do that will. Like, that's not going to change that. And you're going to feel that hunger wherever you go, and you're not going to be able to stop that. So if we run from God, and God's chasing us the whole time, are we really, like, settling anything at all? It's just a waste of time. So my biggest thing to tell you right now is to shake it off. You're worth it. God loves you more than anything right now. And you just need to shake off whatever the devil has on you that you can't seem to get off you. At every camp, it just seems to stick. After every time you feel like you've prayed and God seems forever away, shake it off. It's that simple. Because your victory is in 1 second away when you say, God, here. Here's that one thing I've been afraid to give you after all these years, and that is me. I'm afraid to give you my future. I'm afraid to give you everything that I want to control. And that's my biggest thing. Graduating this year, I'm saying, okay, I want to go do this. And I have to correct myself. I'm like, God, what do you want me to do? I got to pray about this. We're afraid of our future. I'm afraid of my future, but it's really hard for me to trust. Like, if you didn't know God at all, if you come to church every Sunday and Wednesday and you don't really know God, you just know that there is a God, and you come in, would it be hard for you to go and give a complete stranger your future? Could you do that? No, I wouldn't do that ever. But if we go in knowing that this is the person that I have grown closest to and that I love and has become my best friend, would you give them your future and to know that it is in the best hands you've ever had it in? Sure. See, our biggest problem is we don't want to get close to God. And once we do feel like we're close to God, the littlest thing that the devil throws at us, it just brings us right down. See, the biggest like way that I compare the devil to somebody is a dog with no teeth. This is a huge Rottweiler with no teeth at all. Because he can come in and bark and scare us, and we hunker down and we hide, but it has no bite at all. See, so we're sitting there hiding from a dog that can't hurt us while God's sitting there saying, what are you doing? You can just walk around it. It's not going to hurt you. Saying, we get scared of every little thing that the devil throws our way and trips us at when we know that we just got to shake him off and continue. And the next one I have is just let your worship determine your worth. If you really want to know how much you're worth, go to God and say, here it is. How much am I worth to you, God? And you worship him with everything you have. What's going to happen? He's going to show you that he loves you more than anything, and that everything that you've been afraid of has just been a toothless dog. That's the only thing I can compare it to. So my biggest thing is you got to move on. See, once you shake it off, leave it there. That's the biggest thing. See, we're on our walk with God, and something will fall on us. And once we do get it off, we continue just down our road, you know? All of a sudden, we got to go back to it because, you know, we miss it in this lifestyle. You're not used to it, and you don't know if God's real, so we go right back. We just put it back on ourselves. And we don't want to shake it off because we're stubborn. We really are. I am. And I don't know if that's just me, but I'll go back to the same things and just say, I like it here. And God's sitting there, like, trying to kick me around. I mean, are we going to allow him to do that? Of course not. Nobody can judge my life right now. It's my life. Because we don't really know who we're dealing with. We don't know who we should be loving. See, grow with God. Once we grow with God, we learn to love him. See, if we draw nigh to him, he's going to draw back to us. See, God, it's like a relationship. If Brother Brian didn't talk to Sister Sarah for 2 months and just walked off, what's going to happen? She's going to love him, and she's going to be the happiest woman alive because she didn't have to deal with Brother Brian for 2 months. No. No, is that relationship going to last? Is it? Not at all. Seriously, and that's what we do with God. We go to God every camp meeting, and we're like, God, here's everything. See you next year. Like, what's that do? We're spitting in God's face after we just gave him everything. It's like somebody coming, raising your hopes, like saying, here's the keys to the new car, psych, throwing it in the river. Like, you don't get it at all, every time. And we have just like this terrible way of doing things. And we blame God for everything that goes wrong, too. I mean, God, why are you letting this and this and this and this happen, God? Like, God's like, I wasn't in there in the first place. You never invited me in. Sure. And that's just the biggest cause now. And honestly, we need to have a one more day mentality. Because has anybody been on like the verge of giving up? And you're saying, God, I'm going to give you one more day, and if you don't change it, then I'm done. Anybody been there before? See, every day after that, I'll say, God, I'm giving you one more day. Tell God, I'm going to go one more day, and I'm done. And the next day after that, you go, I'm going to give you one more day. And then later on, you're going to say, God, I just went a week. I'll give you one more week. And later on, we're saying, God, I'm going to give you my whole life because I've trusted you that far. Have a one more day mentality. Say, God, I'm going to go one more day with you. One more day, one more day. And then we'll realize God can become your everything in a week. See, once Paul shook it off, he went to heal the rest. Okay, in this book, he goes on to heal this entire island that they just got shipwrecked on, including the chief's father and everyone in that village. See, once we feel like we're trapped in this little island without God, it's just because we're too afraid to shake off the thing that's been bothering us the most so we can get on with our will. See, once he shook that shake off, the snake off, they thought he was a god. They all compared him to a god. See, thing is, no, because he was a god, it's because there was a god. See, we believe so much, like it's like a dog-cat mentality. If you have a cat and you feed that cat and you love that cat and you nourish that cat's going to think it's a god and it'll go around the house sitting where it wants to sit, doing whatever it wants to do. But if you get a dog and you feed that dog, you go out with that dog, you love that dog, the dog is going to think you're the master. See, be like a dog. Right? That's the best. If nothing is stuck with you, be like a dog right there. Right? If God gives you stuff, appreciate it. The little things. We're not appreciative enough. So once we go in with God and we say, God, it's all gone right now, and I'm going to start walking, and I thank you for everything you've actually given me that I haven't noticed, what's going to happen? The next little thing that comes along, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And we'll love him so much continually that we'll grow with him. So, like I'm saying, if we just need that to shake it off. Like, it's the one thing that's really stuck with me through this chapter where he just shook it off. And I know, honestly, it's honestly crazy how you don't really know some people. Like, they'll come to church every Sunday and Wednesday, and they can be the most fun person, smile, run around, jump, but on the inside, they're dying right now. And we don't know it. And that's the thing. You can go out into the world today, and everybody just seems so happy. But on the inside, they know there's something missing. Right. Has anybody been there before? You're just like, God, something's off. I need to fix this right now, or I can't go one more day. See, with God, all we have to do is call on his name. It's that simple. It really is. Because if I'm feeling down or I'm feeling worried about my future or my will, and I'll just get down and say, God, I just need reassurance. You know what happens? I actually feel like a burden being lifted off me. I feel relaxed. I feel God's presence. And does anybody else love to feel God's presence besides me? It's just assuring. Like, you know that everything is going to be all right now. So this is more towards the youth, but I know sometimes it can go up in to anyone. Just saying, God, I need to shake it off. Every day going to a school, because I know some of these people, most of them go to public school, going in, the influence that has on you is a lot more than you think it is. Just like, you won't even know how far you are until you look back and see, I've gone this far back and I've been needing to go the completely opposite way. And that's exactly how I was. I was too afraid to shake it off because I didn't know God. So, I mean, right now, I'm near the end of my notes. I really am. Like, that's all I had. And I don't know if that's good or bad because I don't have the time. But it wasn't 20 hours. Sorry if I disappointed anybody. But who has some things besides me, personally, that I need to shake it off? I really do. I mean, some things in my life, I'm just saying, God, I can't go with this on my burden right now. I can't go feeling like this. The guilt, the doubt, everything in the world. I just need you to take it. See, and we can come to God all we want, and we can shake it off, we can do everything we can, but if we don't step away from it, we're still right there, and all we have to do, we're still in it. See, get out, dust yourself off, and say, God, thank you, and then take another step and grow with God. So I don't know everybody's story, I don't know what everybody's going through, but I know who does. And that's the thing. I'm not going to sit here and point out, like, you've done wrong, and you've done wrong, and you've done wrong, because I don't know if you've done wrong. He probably could have preached this last Sunday. I didn't even know it. I think everybody, it could be going right over everybody's heads right now. Or if I'm lucky, it's getting someone right in the heart. It's saying, God, this is exactly what I need right now. I just need to shake it off and get right with you. So, honestly, right now I'm closing. If anybody needs just reassurance, because I know I'm not the only one. And if I am, then I've got some serious problems. But who just needs to shake some things off for God besides me? Who just needs to get right and say, God, I just need another touch? Because I know for some people, the last touch they have was Southern Ohio. Just say, God, I need to feel you again like I did back then, or I can't go anymore. So all I'm asking is, honestly, could everybody just bow their heads and close their eyes? If you've gone for a while and you've just said, God, I've had this one thing my whole life that is ruining my relationship with you that I can't get past, and I know that if I don't, I'm not going anywhere with you. I know that it keeps coming right back on me, and I can't get over it. If that's you, I know coming to this front seems like a lot right now, and just bowing down and giving God all, but I know this is the kind of church that once you get up here, everybody's going to be back behind you praying for you. See, it's not the problem that we can't shake it off, we don't want to. So I'm just going to ask if anybody wants to come and wants to shake it off and come to God and give it your all, these altars are open. Is there anybody that would want to come right now and say, God, right now, I'm not just going to make this another Wednesday service, I'm going to make it the Wednesday service. Right now, I need to get right with you. And if that's anybody, please come to the front, because I know there will be more people here than you can know to come pray for you right now. And right now, these altars are open, so everybody just come and find your place with God. And say, God, right now, I'm making everything right with you. And just give God your all. Thank you.
majestic love.